August 25th, 2007.
Hi, this is Steve Mermelstein, better known as User Bin Geek, calling from Burlington, Vermont, and you're listening to the Lullabot Podcast, home of the world-famous Drupal song.
Lullabot Podcast.
We also need a whole podcast of us just singing that song.
That song, yeah. Well, this is the Drupal song. You know, the Drupal song is like the most commented.
I know. The comments for that are freaking endless.
On our site. And
and it's the most spam-attracting
comment. Yeah, it's the most
spam-attracting.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. There's like these people who are paid to go and comment. I don't know. It's... I'm Jeff Robbins, and it's the Lullabot Drupal podcast, you know, weekly, semi-weekly, sometimes more weekly than others.
Ish.
Ish. And I'm here with...
Angie Byron.
And...
Addie Berry.
That's right. Both Angie and Addie on the same podcast. People hear the female voice on the Lullabot podcast, and I think sometimes they think it's the same person.
I'm Addie.
And I'm Angie. Or am I?
Yes, Angie, also known as Web Chick on the Drupal.org and pretty much everywhere on the web. And Addie, Add One Son, in various places. Well, it's great to have you both on the... We should do a podcast on, like, women in open source or something like that. That would be
Actually, I'll be given a talk about that in Toronto on October 13th.
Oh, just coincidentally.
Just coincidentally.
Oh, really?
So if anybody is in Toronto and would like to pay $40 to go to this thing and listen to me yammer on and on for a while.
I think $40 is – it's $40 Canadian, too. That's a
That's those loonies.
That's a
yeah, but you
bargain.
Know your economy is sucking, so they're almost the same now. So. No offense.
Well, it's okay. We were out ahead there for a little bit. You know, you can go and buy a cheap T-shirt in Toronto, but
yeah,
now,
but they haven't really adjusted the prices for you up there, have they?
No, it's kind of annoying. So it's still like, you know, I mean, a book is $10 here and it's $150 in Canada because they haven't quite figured out that, you know.
Andrew, anyway. What are the dates that you're speaking in Toronto?
I am speaking, I believe, on Saturday, October 13th. There is a website on linux.ca, O-N, Linux. And there is more information on the Ontario Linux Fest.
Cool. Well, there's something for people to do if you're in or around the Toronto area. Or you can. There's still enough time to buy plane tickets. Go see Andrew speak.
But please only come if you're nice, because I'm very nervous.
And she is a nervous public speaker. Yes. If we could coax her out, you know, for teaching workshops and that kind of thing, she's just fine. It's just, you know, you push her up on stage by herself, and there's all that pressure and stuff. So today on the podcast, we have an interview with Stephen Peck. Stephen is the leader. What's the official title of the documentation team? He's the man about town. I think that's the official title.
I believe it is documentation team coordinator.
Ah, yes. Coordinator, of course. Yes. Right. And yeah, he's got some really cool stuff that he's been doing, basically sort of bundling up, putting some polishing touches on a bunch of the documentation stuff and, that's cool. We'll talk to him in a moment. But a little bit of Drupal news. First of all, we had a hugely successful summer weekend workshops with Lullabot. We were in order. I believe we were in Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. Did 2-day weekend kind of things. And it was great. But we're going to bring it back to... Back to a during the week thing, and do a full week long, workshop thing. Those weekend ones were really hurried. So it'll be good to be able to spend a whole week. We're going to be, in Providence, Rhode Island, the first week of November. It's actually not up on lullabot.com yet, but if you go to lullabot.com, sign up for the mailing list. We will let you know as soon as that gets announced, and you can go and sign up for it. And it will live at lullabot.com/training. It's going to be it looks like it's shaping up to be basically a week-long build an entire website in and with Drupal and theme it and pimp it out and all that kind of stuff. So should be a really great sort of hands-on experience. And I, as I mentioned on the last podcast, we're also planning, it's true, a Drupal cruise at the end of January, and information about that will also go up. That's going to be sort of a little bit more sort of intermediate kind of a thing than the stuff that's happening in Providence, but that should be just fun for everybody. So yes, Drupal on a cruise with the Lullabot team should be tons of fun. And then there are a couple of news items on the homepage of Drupal.org. Summer of Code is finished. Is that true?
Summer of Code is finished. As of August 20th, it's all done. So I made a post on the front page with all this, a table containing all the students' projects, and most of them have demo links so you can actually try them out. And it would be really cool to do that because, I mean, they've worked their butts off over the summer, and we've really met some really cool, awesome new contributors. We got the opportunity to give existing contributors enough space to get some really awesome things done, like you know, translation tools and project metrics and all this kind of stuff. So it's really I'm really impressed with the scope of projects this year, and also the people who were all involved. It was really nice. So
Wow. Thanks
to all the students, thanks to all the mentors, thanks to Google, thanks to everybody. So yeah, well done.
Cool. Any particular like really cool stuff that you've seen come out of the? I mean, I guess it's probably not right to play favorites, but...
Well, I can play favorites legitimately, because one of them I was technically like a co-mentor on, and that was Andrew Morton did this. He's working on the project quality metric system, and although we don't actually have like the goal was to have like this big block that contains all this information, we didn't quite get there. But what we did get is a bunch of really useful statistics about what modules are used the most on Drupal sites according to like both module and version, so you can see, ah crap, there's still like, you know, 50 people who still have a buggy version of Drupal core, you know, that kind of stuff. It's really, really nice. I think once we kind of get that rolled out onto Drupal.org, we'll be able to do a lot of really fantastic stuff with that information, you know, including like you know, when we're contemplating API changes, we'll know, okay, well, these are the, you know, top 50 modules that are used out there in the wild and stuff like that. And it's a nice measurement as well, because it's totally objective. It's like, you know, downloads, you can write a bot that's going to go and download your module 150 billion times to make it look really popular. But, you know, it's a lot more work to set up 150,000 Drupal sites and have them all paying Drupal.org and things like that. So
don't put it past me. I could do it.
I know. But somebody out there, now that I've said that, is going to write the spoof your module stats module. But anyway, yeah.
Of what benefit is it really? But so eventually, what you're saying is that people will be able to, on the Drupal project pages, see some metrics, see some like information about how much it's
right.
being used.
Yeah, he's coded a like a backend sort of thing for storing the metric. You know, various objective measurements. There's a lot of debate in the community about whether we should go, you know, like letting people review modules and rate them and things like that. And at this point, it seems like the better option is just to take a variety of totally objective measurements. Like, for example, you know, what's the committer activity been like? You know, how many critical bugs are in their queue and how fast are they closed typically? Things like that are a lot harder to game, especially when the secret sauce is all kept behind an admin panel and you don't know how Drupal.org has weighted things and stuff like that. And then basically the end goal of this, once it gets implemented fully, is that, you know, the products will basically get like a good, medium, or bad rating. So it will avoid the problem of like, well, which module do I use? There's 150 modules that do something about links, you know, and you'd be able to tell at a glance, okay, well, this module is used by, you know, this module is the fifth most downloaded module. So probably that's a good one to use because obviously other people are using it,
right.
You know, and you can see, oh, the maintainer is very active. He's, you know, keeping on top of his queue. Or she, but of course she always keeps on top of her queue, so, you know. unless she's me. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah.
But then you have a backup she who does.
Right, right, perfect. So, yeah. So there you go. Yeah, so just, I think, like, important groundwork was laid with that project. I think the translation tools that Gabor has worked on is really great too, but I don't want to play favorites because there's just so many awesome projects that people did, and you guys should go check them out, try them all out. You know, give your props to the students because they really did work hard over the summer, and yeah.
Cool. Where is the best place for people to go and kind of see the list of all the projects? I got there to like a code.google.com page through various links on the homepage of Drupal. Is that the best place to go?
Node 169104.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Drupal, yeah.
Drupal.org/
node.
Node.
Take it away, Addie.
I could. I'm not going to remember that number.
From the top. All right. Drupal.org/node/169104.
Or if you go right now, it's the very first post on the front page.
Oh, that's
and you can just click it.
Right, but does that have the whole list of all the modules? Oh, it does.
Yep.
Oh, I see. It doesn't have it on the homepage, but if you click read more, there they all are. Okay.
Yes.
See, I'm.
It's kind of long, so I didn't want to.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's that whole thing with you don't realize that it's not the whole post. Oh, don't get me started. Anyways, and then there's another post on the homepage we were going to talk about as well.
Well, Dries has a post up on Help Shape the Future of Drupal, and what he's done is in preparation for his State of Drupal presentation that he will be doing in Barcelona, he has a survey up for the entire community so that people can basically give him direct feedback on where they see things with Drupal and what they sort of want to see in the future. So it's actually a pretty cool survey, and I'm pretty excited to see what the results are going to be. So, and that, again, there's a link directly to that right on the front page of Drupal.org right now.
Yeah.
There's some tricky questions in there, too. Like,
I know.
It's cool because he's got a list of all these things that you're like, you know, okay, what, you know, basically asking, like, what are the things that could stand the most improvement? But you can't pick all of them. You can only pick five, and you have to rank them based on, like, okay, this one sucks the most, and this one is a little less sucky, and, like, that kind of thing. So it's, there's some really good questions. Yep.
Yeah. It even gets more complex than that. It's like, well, that sucks the most, but it's not the most important to get fixed, you know? So, yeah, I spent some time on it. And I encourage everyone to spend some time as well, because definitely these State of Drupal talks are good for getting some insight into what Dries is thinking about. And he does a lot of preparation, and in this case, he's putting up a survey. So, yeah, get into Dries' brain, fill out the survey, and be heard. So, good stuff.
Yeah. Actually, I have another news item. Dries and his wife Carlin had a baby. Earlier this week, I think. His name's Axel, as in, like, Axel Rose, except, of course, much cooler because he's Dries' baby. So Dries is a happy father now.
Yeah.
And there's cool. A very cool picture of Axel's first breath on Dries' blog.
Yeah.
Dries is quite a photographer, and that's...
And it's actually, I also found it interesting that Dries' dad was the person who actually delivered him.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Dries' dad's a baby doctor. And keep it all in the family. So, any other news or anything? There's, you know, usual stuff on Drupal.org. I mean, all of it. DrupalCon Barcelona. Yeah, you know, we're not going to do a podcast where we just talk about what's on Drupal.org. Go to Drupal.org. Read it. There's always news. Probably by the time you hear this podcast, there will be new stuff up there. But Barcelona's coming up. We're going. The whole Lullabot team is going to go try to speak some Spanish and give some presentations at DrupalCon Barcelona.
Oh, speaking of presentations, though, if you plan to give one, even if you don't plan to give one, if you could be persuaded to give one, you should go to the DrupalCon.org site, and which I said really fast, DrupalCon.org, and suggest some presentation or sessions to present, because the deadline for that is, I think, the 31st of August or something like that, which is next week. So, yeah, if you've been slacking and you're like, yeah, I should really get around to present, yeah, go do it now.
Okay. You're talking to me, aren't you?
I am Jeff.
Jeff Robbins.
Jeff, if your name is Jeff Robbins and you're sitting here hosting a podcast, you might want to, yeah, okay.
I feel like I'm listening to the podcast and they're talking to me.
What are some other names we can throw out?
Bob. Shall we segue into our interview with Stephen Beck?
Sure. Can I say one last thing?
Yes, please.
I just want to say hi to my brother who listens to this podcast while he does dishes, and he doesn't know anything about Drupal, but he misses me, and so he likes to hear my voice. Aww. Hi, Keith. Aww.
Now,
okay, sorry.
Keith.
Now I've got a tear in my eye while going into this next bit. Oh, wow. So,
dishes and documentation.
Yes. And yeah. Without further ado, Stephen Peck. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hello.
So you've been what's your background in Drupal exactly? It seems like you're like the omnipresent person on Drupal.org in the forums and you do documentation stuff. What's your sort of background with Drupal?
OCD. it was
you just
an
can't let a question go unanswered.
Well, a long time ago, I was involved in a couple of other open source projects, most particularly the Linux Embedded Appliance Firewall project, and that was fun. While my job involved routing and other things, and well, my job changed, my interest changed, and my wife was pregnant, and so I needed something that would let me manage my wife's my website and let my wife post baby pictures and get my sister-in-law's website so that I didn't have to update her website every other week and then update corrections to typos. And I needed to learn something about SQL, and I wanted to learn something about web development and, you know, some other stuff. So I went and tried a number of CMSs and came across Dean Space. I started with PHP website, but I couldn't get that to work consistently, and I wasn't going to use any of the PHP nukes. And Dean Space was an article, and I read the site, and it said fork of Drupal, and I went, oh, no fork, and I went to Drupal. And I had to figure out how to install MySQL on Windows XP and Apache, and I used IIS, and I successfully installed Drupal 3 times before I realized that I had actually installed it successfully 3 times. By reading the text on the screen that said, welcome to Drupal. But this was back in 4.3, so it wasn't as friendly and bolded.
Right.
And that was the start.
Cool.
And I answer questions originally because by figuring things out and answering questions, people realize that, and then they tend to answer my questions more effectively.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've definitely sort of made a name for yourself as the, I think, I don't know if it's actually posted anywhere, but you probably have more posts on Drupal.org than anyone.
I went into my tracker and counted it, and then I didn't do it again anymore.
and you lead the documentation team?
Currently, yes.
What does that entail? What exactly is the Drupal documentation team, and what does the Drupal documentation team do?
Well, theoretically, we maintain and monitor all incoming documentation from Drupal.org, which is kind of odd because it's semi-organic, and is not the way it sort of started. It started when Charlie Lowe started it with Dries. Put out a call, and they put a lot of the groundwork down, and they took it from the original one book that was all about Drupal with a primary focus on development with some stuff on end user guide, which is still there, pretty much unchanged, and a few other things. And they developed the present structure, you know, pretty much about Drupal. It's a little different. I changed it last year. And a few other things, all the rules that they have used, the formatting, all of that. They had, in the beginning, they had formalized teams, which long-term does not seem to work out. And so most of the teams are now, quote, gone, and it's more of a free-for-all at this point. But
So what do you mean exactly by organic? You mean that anyone can just go and write a doc page in, on Drupal.org, or how does that work?
Any registered user on Drupal.org can add a page to the handbook. They can also edit any page that they themselves add. But they can't edit other pages. One big repeated request, comment, rant, flame that we get is, it should be more like a wiki. Depending on who says that, they have a different concept of what wikis are. Some people think that they want the wiki as in anyone can edit. Other people think they want the wiki syntax, other the organization and some of the hot linking stuff. But primarily most seem to think that anyone should edit, you know, be able to edit a hand page and change it. When we had 4.7, we actually did allow it for about a week, and the page vandalism was a little too high to deal with.
Right.
Anything that was edited would go to moderation, and we were able to catch it that way.
So
now
part of it,
moderation.
Right. Part of it was Drupal's sort of concept of moderation and how that's handled or not handled. There are some contrib modules that sort of handle moderation better these days than probably was the case back then. But yeah, that's an interesting concept that, right. So how it was, if I remember correctly, was as soon as something goes into moderation, it basically became unpublished on the site or unlisted on the site. So as soon as someone would go in to make something better, it would all of a sudden sort of disappear, which is kind of uncool until someone else came along to sort of anoint it as worthy of appearing on the site.
Right. But, you know, we got a lot of page vandalism from that short experiment that I did, but it was unsustainable. And even now, with the page I believe Webchick did, new handbook contribution statistics, I'm showing 34 handbook pages created in the last 7 days, 24 were spam.
Oh, wow.
This is kind of a normal number.
Well, spam happens. We know that.
So anyone can add, but we're not going to let the vandalism happen. So all you have to do is ask to be on the doc team, and generally within a week or two, you'll get the rights, and you'll be able to edit pages, most pages, not all, in the handbook.
Cool. So I, excuse my general questions, but just to sort of let everyone know who's listening, what's in the handbook?
At this point, everything people contribute. we have the history, we have the feature overview, we have links to video casts, we have installation and configuration, we have old media resources that haven't been updated, you know, old brochures, we have snippets, bits and pieces for customization, PHP snippets. A lot of these sections evolved from an idea. And maybe they're not the best way long term, but they evolved from an idea. The PHP snippets is one, for instance, that a lot of people weren't realizing that they could just use a PHP snippet. They were thinking they had to write a whole module to display information. And instead of, and once the PHP snippet got stuck in the handbook, people, hey,
right,
let's try that.
Well, and these things, as examples of them go up, it sort of spawns other ideas for people, and they tend to sort of,
build on each other.
Yeah, they build on each other. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the developer's handbook, which is probably the most important for going forward and how to deal with projects and all that stuff. And finally, at the bottom is about Drupal documentation.
Meaning the documentation of how to write documentation.
Right. Which is important.
No, all of that is very important. Yeah. If you want anything to be sustaining, you need to document it, including the document, how to do the documentation, which seems a little meta, but makes perfect sense. Cool. So, well, we've got Angie Byron and Addie Berry on here as well, because they're both on the documentation team. So a question sort of for all of you, I guess, is like, what are the big problems with the documentation? Like, what have historically been the problems, what are the problems that are trying to be solved currently?
I think one of the biggest problems is that people consistently talk about there not being enough and good enough newbie documentation, like documentation for people who aren't programmers and documentation for people who are just kind of getting their feet wet, because a lot of the documentation is written by people who already know Drupal, so they make a lot of assumptions about, of course you know what a node is already. So this is how a node does blah, 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 you know, this kind of stuff.
Right.
And part of the problem is that people have this perception that they have to be super geniuses in order to start contributing to documentation. It's like, well, I can't possibly contribute to documentation until I'm an expert and I can start telling other people. But that's simply not the case, and I really try to hammer that home with people that when you're new, it's the very best time to help with documentation, because you know what's confusing and you know how to explain it in a way that other people who are at your level can understand. So the best time, in my opinion, to get started with documentation is when you're new. It does a couple things. One, it forces you to learn something well enough to tell other people about it. And two, it gets you, major karma points. Anybody who helps with documentation gets, the kind of karma points that don't come easily. Anybody can write a patch, but it takes a really skilled person to be able to write documentation that other people can understand. It's just a great thing to do. I call documentation, sort of this goodwill act of how to not, how to help other people not bash their heads against the same stuff you've had to bash your head against.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Sort of paving the road as you go down it. You know, it's like, oh, look, I figured it out. Then kind of help people along the path. Yeah, that's good stuff. Are there other challenges that you all find, or are there other issues? It just seems like there's a lot of stuff to keep track of. We're able to do a podcast about Drupal every week, every 2 weeks, and there's lots to talk about. I can imagine that the handbook's just kind of all full of all kinds of stuff. Even just keeping track of like, what's the good information and what's maybe not as well written is probably a challenge, or making those judgments. God, I can't imagine.
Well, the biggest part is Drupal moves. So even now that we've slowed down to one release every 8-9 months?
Yeah.
How do you keep documentation versioned? How do you keep responsibility? What do you update? What do you do when someone's mad that something's not updated? What do you focus on? We have, on my blog post recently, just the three main install, customization, and developer are 1,414 printed pages.
Wow. How much?
1,414 printed pages.
That's how many pages if you were to print out the Drupal handbook?
The three Drupal handbooks, the installation, the customization and theming, and the developer's guide. That doesn't count about Drupal or about Drupal docs.
Wow. So when I first, I should just, disclosure here, when I first started with Drupal, I had a pay.
And I remember answering one of your questions.
I had a project and I was being paid. And of course that put me in a panic because I knew, virtually nothing about Drupal. And so I just printed out the handbook, and I remember I printed it out and it was a big stack of papers, but it wasn't 1,500 pages of, it was, maybe 50 pages or something. And I printed it out and I put a big clip on it and I walked around with it and I didn't actually read it. I just like slept with it under my pillow and walked around with it in my backpack. So I figured I would try and learn through osmosis. Eventually I did read it, but it's huge now. That's amazing.
And this is the other part. What kind of documentation were you looking for?
Well, yeah. No, I didn't even understand exactly what I'd printed out when I printed it out. There were comments on things and there was stuff that sort of conflicted with each other. And, it was sort of spotty. I don't know that that's changed much, but,
That's a no.
Yeah.
There's some dark places.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, just remember there being parts of it that were like, oh, wow, this is so such great information, and then other parts that were not as helpful, you know, just, huh. Well, so you have some ideas for improving this stuff, I know, which was one of the reasons we hooked up to get you on the podcast. Do you want to talk about those a little bit, Stephen? I mean,
well, the biggest challenge is the versioning of the docs. Now, the right. developer's handbook pretty much is reasonably up to date at any given time, because there's enough developers that keep the update module section and the update core pages and all that stuff. They keep that up to date, and they're fanatical about it, and they're nuts because they don't want to look for it four times and explain it 19.
Right.
So that itself has a dedicated party that's self-interested to maintain, you know, that has a self-interest to maintain it. But the intro stuff, the installation, it takes a long time to write one page. Right. And then to organize it. And what killed us was there was a lot of effort in 4.6 and 4.7 to update and write a lot of documentation. A lot of credit goes to CivicSpace, Amazon, Kieran Lowell, and Angie, and myself, and then Churgin, Jen Kin, who did a lot of the pre-stuff a long time ago, did a huge major effort. And then Drupal 5 came out. And that was pretty much, in many ways, a catastrophic change in regards to existing documentation. Elements didn't necessarily change wholesale, but how you access them and how you interrelated to them and where they were in the book, that all changed.
Right.
You know, the admin page, the slash admin page alone was just huge.
Right, right. And also, I mean, there are different things you talk about when you talk about versioning. There's sort of, I mean, the revisions of the handbook, but you're talking more about each version of Drupal. That right now there's one handbook for Drupal. Just go and find out about Drupal, and what you, and if you have a 4.6 installation of Drupal, you know, that you've been handed over from someone else. God help you, kind of, right? I mean, like, it's sort of the latest version of Drupal. It's the latest version of the document now, right? I mean, if it was written for 4.7, it's kind of the 4.7 version. Is there?
Think about the biggest change. Where's page module and story module?
They don't
exist anymore. Right,
yeah.
Right. CCK has been sort of rolled into it. So, you know, how do you do that in the existing structure? Well, you can't. Going on in that path just wasn't going to work. Was it only a year ago or was it 2 years ago that we switched over to OSU OSL for hosting and we got the extra servers?
Right. About a year and a half ago, a little bit more. No, maybe 2 years ago that we switched over to OSU.
Yeah, it was right at the end of Summer of Code because we were all freaking out because we couldn't commit our code.
Right, right. I mean, I just, for people that weren't around during that, it was a fascinating little thing that happened where basically what happened? Drupal.org went down, right? Or kept going down. We were having all these problems and basically, I think the Drupal.org homepage, am I correct, was replaced with a something basically saying we need a new server who will donate.
Well, we need funds.
Yeah, we need a new, you know, we need money for a new server. And basically, it was just a ridiculous amount of money. It was like $10,000 that they raised in 2 days or something.
I was at home sick, and Dries caught me online and asked me if I would proofread something. And so I proofread it, and I went, oh, do you mind if I add to it? 5 hours later, I sent it back to them, and they did a little bit more changes, and that's what they posted. And we got a good deal. But after we got the funds, then we had to decide what to do about it. And then we had to take advantage of OSU OSL's offer to host, and then we had to build the servers, and then we had to get the database over to OSU OSL, and then we had to test the configuration, and all that took several months. I mean, that's, you know, of a lot of people's time, and so some of the stuff seems fast and it's really slow.
Right.
But how does that work with documentation? Well, that kind of took a lot of time too. But we grew at that moment. That time we grew a lot of people. So we wandered astray. Well,
so you're the documentation versioning and keeping track of the various versions of Drupal.
So the tool of choice has been the book module, and for a long time I was a strong proponent of that as the way to do it, as a way of forcing us to maintain and upgrade our own tools. Well, I'm not really a PHP coder, and we weren't really upgrading and maintaining our tools. So it long-term just wasn't the place to keep certain version documentation unless you repeated it all a lot. And it was difficult. It'd be difficult to do that on a regular basis and copy and paste and maintain and update and make sure you got everything and track it. And it was just frustrating. And in a previous project I was in, the Leaf project, they had switched to DocBook. And so I went back and read my old emails and looked at the project and thought, you know, there's a lot of projects out there using DocBook. It can be checked into CVS, but it has a higher learning curve and it has a higher threshold of access. So we can't do the whole documentation in DocBook because that's just not sustainable. You know, we can't upgrade everybody's how to do cPanel or how to use Plex. Because I don't have cPanel and I've never seen Plex. And what version of cPanel and what customization of Plex does some host have? So I went and looked at the existing documentation that we had. And we have an install.txt and an install MySQL.txt and an install PGSGL.txt and an upgrade.txt. And we have that welcome to Drupal message when you first install your site. Mm-hmm. And then we have all the help files in Drupal itself that people just don't see, right, or they don't know how to get to at first. Uh-huh. And I realized that we actually had a lot of the documentation that was really important right there. So I thought, let's take that, use that as a basis, and write an installation. Now, that was kind of the basic idea. And then I went to the open source CMS thing at Yahoo.
Yep.
And I talked to a bunch of people there, and they thought that was a great idea. And Angie was all bummed because she kept being distracted by this fun stuff over with the Dojo guys making these webcasts. And Andy kept like flitting between that project and back over to the table where we were chatting, and Laura was there. And my initial outline, she kind of went, well, how about this and this and this, and sort of destroyed part of it. And I was like, hey. It's mine. Laura Pingvision, by the way. I like those ideas, and so I took them home and I sat and then played with my newborn daughter, who was at that point 2 or 3 months old, and outlined it some more and started assembling the docs and on a Scratch site and getting some people's opinions, and finally I got sat down and put it all in DocBook and generated my first draft.
Cool. So are you, so some of the stuff from the handbook pages will move into DocBook? Is that what you're saying? Or this is all sort of the, basically just sort of, kind of binding up all the documentation that kind of already comes with Drupal?
Yeah, yes and no. Some of the stuff in the handbook, most of the stuff isn't actually from the handbook. Some of it is. The requirements are, the install guide is, and then I expanded on it. Uh-huh. And one of the other things that I added was, in the installation, I have a couple of routine things that I do, all about configuring the site, checking your logs, you know, making sure the files directory is all there. And I was guiding a friend through that again. I have a couple sites I host for friends, and I have a couple friends I support. And I was guiding him through that install and talking him through the menus, and I said, hey, so I wrote down all the steps, and I realized that you visited every major admin area of a Drupal site with that step as kind of a familiarization tour. And so that I wrote all of that out, took screenshots, and added that to my book.
Oh, wow. Screenshots. Pictures. Yes. Pictures.
Lots of stuff.
My goodness.
And then the other thing was I saw in channel someone was asking about CCK and a couple of other concept things that, you know, we Drupal folks take for granted. And I watched someone walk through an elaborate explanation of you know, some important Drupal concepts again. And I thought, you know, we need a concept section.
Right.
That's about Drupal content. So I got a hold of Robert Douglas, and I grabbed his filter article off your guys' Lullabot site. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed Karen Stevenson. I asked her if she'd write something, and she wrote me a nice intro to CCK tutorial. I put in the best practices stuff that I started a long time ago. I grabbed the backward compatibility part because we always say that Drupal's API is not backwards compatible, but we don't stress enough that the data, that there's always a migration path through the data.
Right.
And so I put that there. And then Jeff Eaton was saying, hey, we don't have something about content. And so he wrote up an article on how Drupal treats content as kind of this bucket that Drupal then wraps around the presentation of. But, of course, you have to build the presentation.
And I'm
convincing Moshe to do a one on taxonomy.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not even going to say his name. Kay Kaffer? Kay Kaffer? His IRC name.
Constantine Kaffer.
Thank you. Did one on translations.
Uh-huh.
And Morbus has an existing article on CCK that's also good that I'm going to steal, but I'm going to have to sort of rewrite and send it to him for edits because he's busy.
Huh. So this will sort of be an adjunct to the handbook pages on Drupal.org. Would this be something that would come along with the Drupal installation? I mean, when you download Drupal, might this be part of the package or maybe something alongside of it or something like that? It seems like this kind of a thing. I mean, just as you know, we do the workshops and stuff, and just like you say, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you talk about it over and over again, and you forget that not everyone knows that. For instance, you need to now with Drupal 5, you now put your modules into sites/all, and then you create a modules directory in there, and that's where you put your contrib modules that you download from Drupal.org. And stuff like that is sort of like, even though there's a README file in there, I bet people wouldn't find it, right? I mean, it seems like obvious, you know, I have a module, there's a modules directory, let me just put this in there. But I know that there's a lot of things like that with Drupal, and a handbook like this could be really helpful to have sort of a linear, like, sit down, or better yet, print it out, and carry it around in your backpack and highlight it and, you know, learn what
That's the advantage of DocBook is you can generate PDF, you can generate HTML bundle, you can you can do that and have it available and
right. Checked
in. And so, yeah, it'll have the how to build your sites, how to do multi – because we also have the multi-site instructions, and so it'll add on to that and the various practices for that. Absolutely.
Cool.
That's the whole point of this.
Right. So this, you've been working on this a lot, obviously.
A couple months.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting to have something that can print out in PDF. And you sent me, I think, the latest copy of it. And it's really cool to see, pictures. I know I get silly about this, but pictures. It's like screenshots, you know. There's so much information on Drupal.org and so few pictures.
Go to Chapter 3. You want to see pictures, go to Chapter 3. I think it's like page 2016 or something like that.
Chapter 3. Now, I thought you were referring to the company, Chapter 3.
No.
One of the things about pictures, too, is that we've just recently on the docs team made it docs maintainers can add screenshots and stuff to the handbooks and maintain that. It's a bunch of security issues and filters and who should have access to HTML, which is necessary for the pictures to show and stuff like that. But hopefully that's a recent change, like within the last month. And so hopefully that will encourage more pictures, because I think Jess right that having pictures so that people can actually see what it is that's being discussed makes a big difference, especially for people where English is not their native language, and so trying to follow along in a foreign language, just plain written text is very difficult. And being able to see a picture is like, ah, okay, they get it. They don't have to read every single word and parse it in order to actually follow what's happening. Which is another reason that I think video casts tend to be popular as well.
Right.
Well, also seeing that screen with the status report when you first install Drupal, you know, it's got two big huge red things on it. It has cron maintenance task never run and file system not right. And having that screenshot in a manual that also says this is normal at this point is reassuring.
Yeah.
We still have a problem existing with the right sidebar of the Blue Beach theme on Drupal.org. We're working on trying to fix that, but that's kind of complicated.
So is the handbook up? Is that what you're saying? It's up on the site somewhere? On Drupal.org?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
No, I'm writing a big, huge, long introductory post that will hopefully be up this weekend on the front page.
Oh, cool.
And I'll attach the latest beta of the docs.
Great.
It's still got things.
Now, is it a collaborative document or I mean, it's collaborative, but is it just sort of running through you? Are there ways that people can contribute to it, or is this sort of more of a editorially handled document?
At this point, I've been doing it pretty much editorially and grabbing people and clarifying and assembling stuff.
Yep.
Once I add the post, then you know, we have the good framework. Then we'll open it up some more initially.
Right.
But long term, this particular subset of the docs is something that is going to be like Drupal core itself. Major additions and changes are going to be tightly controlled to keep the focus.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. I mean, especially for documents, documentation. I mean, like, you know, when you're writing a book, there's an editor and they are the sort of the gatekeeper of, you know, what's right, what makes it in and keeps it on track. And I think that that's an essential thing for this kind of a project.
Just yeah, for this. So.
Yeah, but the rest of the handbook is still free for all.
Right. People will still be able to go and create a child page and add their page and stuff like that in the regular docs.
So let's try. Let's try and drum up some help. You know, it's always good to get people realizing that they can help with the Drupal documentation. And it's a great way. I mean, like we were saying earlier, for people who are either new or maybe not as technical or something like that. I mean, Stephen, you were just saying earlier, or you mentioned in all of the things that you mentioned, that you're not a PHP coder. You don't really consider yourself to be a Drupal developer per se, do you?
No, I'm a sysadmin system engineer. I assemble different packages and make things work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, there's all sorts of places. I mean, when we do our workshops, like, you know, we do theming workshops and tell these design people, like, there's actually really a lot of places that you can help in Drupal. And for everyone, I think the documentation pages are really a good place. I mean, everything from going through and cleaning things up to adding things. It sounds like there are a lot of pages right now. So maybe I'm guessing with lots of pages, there's probably lots of cleanup that needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I know just enough PHP to do my own theme and to write some articles on theming. It's nothing fancy, but it does what I need. But Tony Narlock, actually completely coincidentally, started a thread in the doc list about, you know, brainstorming a new documentation method. And he's got a good, you know, a good approach and start. He just didn't know that some of us had been kind of thinking about this and we're about to say, hey, here's an idea, and where do you guys think, and let's go from there. So hopefully this weekend I'll have at least that. And, you know, his post actually kind of gave me some other ideas to modify it too. So it's good. So if people are interested, then they ought to check out the doc list, check out the archives.
So the doc list is the documentation list, and people can get on that by going to
– I'm not touching my computer.
So it will all be edited out by the time people hear this, but Stephen's computer has crashed about four times during this podcast. Let's see. Mailing lists. If you go to drupal.org/mailing-lists, there's a list of all the Drupal mailing lists, including the documentation list. And you can, I don't know how to get on it there. Click on mailman page. Is that the same thing as subscribe to this list?
If you scroll down to the bottom of the mailing list page, you can actually subscribe. There's checkboxes.
You can check off
what list you want to subscribe to. The other thing, too, I want to mention is that there's a site called DrupalDigest.com.
Oh, is that still happening? Yeah, yeah.
Which basically creates an RSS feed of, like, the greatest, latest, best, you know, posts from the lists. And I'm the editor for the documentation list. So basically, I read things that come through on the documentation email list. And then if it's something that looks useful or interesting to a broader audience, I forward it on to the digest. And so people can just subscribe to the digest if they're not into the mail list thing.
Yeah,
and they can just get an RSS feed of the most important emails that go to the list.
That's very cool. Mosh started this this site a while back, and it kind of was up and down at the beginning. But it's rocking. That's great. That's, yeah, for people that don't want to get every single message on the list, this is a good way to get.
It's not like the doc list is high traffic.
Oh, well, there you go. Good to know.
No, it is not.
The developer mailing list is pretty high traffic. I guess they all sort of have their ebbs and flows, but cool.
Which is good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this DocBook stuff is really exciting. I mean, the idea of being able to get PDFs, and I really like the idea of bundling this in with Drupal. Or something like that. Maybe I'm just making up this idea.
I don't
suggesting
know
this
that we want to. Well, I don't know that we want to automatically bundle it. I certainly think that we want to have a display right next to it saying, "Here's the Drupal and here's the documentation."
Yeah, right.
That I think is the approach to go, because we don't want to double the size of everyone. If you're doing multi-site, you only need Drupal. And
right.
You know, if you had the printed handbook, you don't need to double your bandwidth. I think the PDF will be bigger than Drupal download.
Yeah, well, the Drupal download's pretty small. There's no images.
Well, no. There's the color module has some.
There are a few images.
Aha. Uh-huh.
A PDF. But are people going to scream about PDF? Is that some sort of proprietary format? And
it is a proprietary format, but the original format is in DocBook, so they can export it as...
So they can deal with it themselves.
Right, exactly. They can write a parser.
Open your DocBook, DocBook awesome into OpenOffice. And
they can sync it with CVS and learn all that. And
Yeah,
the first isn't going to look as pretty as it could be. We'll work on pretty later. I want content important first.
Cool.
And then we'll add the pages to the handbook manually at first. Because I don't really have a good way to do that automatically.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe I know that there was a DocBook module
exporter
for Drupal.
Export.
Yeah, to export. But I know because we're starting work on a book ourselves, and the people at O'Reilly were saying, "Hey, you know, if you do it in DocBook, we could do work with that." And we were thinking, I wonder how could we do this? And actually, it was they who suggested, like, "Oh, could you use Drupal to write the book?" And I first looked at them like, "You're crazy." But then the more we talked about it, it was like, "Ooh, that's kind of a neat idea."
Talk to Jen Kim, because the 4.7 output DocBook is his module, and it just hasn't been updated.
Yeah,
but
no,
it did work.
Yeah, it's neat stuff. I don't know if it'll work. I mean, you know, you want to keep up a really easy workflow for writing an entire book, but it's
well, I did my initial draft in the Drupal book module, and it was really useful. And then I just, you know, moved everything over to the DocBook. I'm using a program, the free version of XML Mind, which is a really nice editor which has built-in validation and all that stuff.
Huh. Cool. Right on. So aside from this, what sounds like a really wonderful thing, what will you refer to this DocBook book as?
Right now it's the installation and configuration manual, but essentially it'll be a Drupal 5 core install and config.
So are there other changes on the horizon for other things in the handbook and the other general sort of documentation things that have been being mulled about that
should
let people know about?
We're going to kind of clean up the installation and configuration section, and we're going to focus that just on the core stuff from this doc. We're going to kind of lock down that section. We're going to take the theming out of the customization and theming section and make that its own section. And the stuff we take out, the community contributed stuff, we pull out of the install and config, and the stuff we pull out of the customization, we're going to put into the middle book. It's, you know, one big book, and we're going to kind of reorganize it into top level tutorials, how tos, PHP snippets, miscellaneous other things. And that's the part that we're just about to send out an email on the docs list and say, okay, guys, how should we deal with this?
Right.
You know, I've been really focusing on just the Drupal core stuff, and I have this vague thing in the back of my mind about the rest, but, you know, I feel so bad that it's taken this long to work on it, but
well,
you know, between the
1,400
work, family,
pages.
Kids.
So, you know, all of this stuff is the growing pains of a successful project. I mean, you know, it was fine when it was 10 pages way back when, and it, you know, documented what needed to be documented. But now there's 1,400 pages that need to be managed, and it probably more than one person can handle, I can imagine. So
it's a lot of fun. I meet a lot of good people, and occasionally I get flamed a bit, and someone doesn't like a decision I make, and they send me a nasty little email, and I go, oh, well, now I know that about you, and go on. I really have a better understanding and perspective of sometimes why Dries is quiet. You know, why he doesn't say anything. He lets it sit for a week or two before he says something.
Things have a way of working themselves out, I guess.
Well, that or sometimes it's better just to kind of let, you know, two or three days go by to see if somebody else says something or has an idea that can mesh well. Or, you know, I don't know that that's all of it, of course, but, you know, sometimes you have to make the decision that you're going, oh, people aren't going to be happy.
Right.
But we have to try it this way.
So how will documentation referring to a particular version of Drupal be handled in the handbook? Or is that a thing that's already been solved? Again, I feel like I it's just so hard to keep up with what's going on with the book.
You slacker.
Well, I read the entire thing. It was under my pillow. I slept on it for several months while trying to get that project done. And
Right now, a lot of the content, we have tags in there, 4.6, 4.7, 5.x. And a lot of the content's tagged. Right now I don't see us moving away from that for all the community contributed stuff, because some content applies to multiple versions. I just don't know if long term that's a good way to do it. I think that I'm hoping that if people have better ideas that they'll chime in on the doc list very, very soon. If not, we're going to stick with that for the short term. Because we have a couple of timelines here. You know, we have the doc book thing, which I want to get done before 6 comes out, because I want this to get done. I want to update it for 6 so that we can time it until we have it. You know, even if it's not pretty, I want it to be technically accurate. So that's kind of my most important focus. And then we have the reorg of the handbook, the short term, where we, you know, move all the content so that hopefully it can be easier to find. We can prune out a lot of stuff. There's a lot of old snippets that are no longer relevant. They're 4.5, 4.6, and it's time to clean them up, and if they haven't been updated, well, they need to go away. And, you know, it's the last big cleanup was a year and a half ago in January, where I pretty much blew 40 hours on the handbook in a rather marathon massive weekend, and I have to negotiate that timeline with my wife again. So that'll shrink it down a little bit, make it a little more manageable. So hopefully in the short term, we can kind of use this as an experiment for what direction we'd like to go. What tools are we missing that even Drupal 6 doesn't bring us? And then maybe we can have some folks step up and for Drupal 7 build us some tools for the book that'll help manage this kind of versioning.
Right, right. Cool. So, yeah, all sorts of...
And Stephen, if people want to help you with that, what's the best way for them to do so?
Well, I would say we should... You know, we should formalize the plan on the doc list. I mean, I'm going to post a whole overview of these concepts on the forums. And so I imagine that will generate a lot of nice replies and discussions. But the doc mailing list is probably going to be the best spot because we've already got that one thread started. And then we can kind of all come to a consensus, throw up a plan, agree on it, and then kind of schedule a weekend and do it.
Cool.
Sorry, go ahead. You were asking something more specific, I take it.
No, that's exactly what I was asking. I just, you know, we want to encourage people to help out.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good to tell them how they can do that. So.
Ah. I forget that sometimes. I've said that so many times. Yeah. Some people, you know, they post a little deal and you say, you know, that's great. Now, you know, and they say, they'll post something like, well, I guess I'll have to figure it out myself. And so I'll say, hey, that's great. And when you do, could you write it up and put it in the handbook? And sometimes they say, yeah, great. And they go and do it. And they realize that it took 4 hours to write that, you know, that three paragraph article. And other times they say, how dare you say that I should do this? And they say, you should make, you know, you should already do this for me. And so you just have to realize that some people get the community part and some people don't. And some people don't get it at first and they get it later.
Yeah. I mean, also, I mean, to some extent, the handbook pages are a discussion. I mean, it's not a discussion format, but like, you know, someone might go and document a way of doing X, Y, or Z, and then someone else will come along and say, well, that works technically, but it's not actually as good as this way of doing it. And they might edit that page or change that or add to it or comment on it with the better method, which actually educates the first person who wrote the documentation and everyone who comes and visits that page from then on. So it's, you know, you sort of, the best practices for things emerge, even if the first person that writes the page doesn't, you know, quite have it right. So there actually is benefit in people who aren't even feeling like maybe total experts yet.
And you can see who the documentation maintainers are in the bottom book about Drupal documentation. Mm-hmm. You know, we have listed 102 people with rights to edit docs, and they have rights to edit pretty much every page in the handbook, move it around, change it, update it, you know, all that fun stuff.
Right. And we have revision control that's turned on for this stuff now. And so it's wiki-like. It just isn't anyone that can go and edit it.
Right.
The only thing you have to do to get started is just make a post in the issue queue and we'll hook you up.
Yep.
Great.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Stephen. I think that this is an area I think that a lot of people just sort of take for granted. And I think it's really great to highlight the people who are working on it, yourself in particular, and all the...
There's a lot of people that do.
Yeah, well, and all the hard work that everyone has put in, and I think, and also just encourage people to get involved in this area, because it is a very... it's accessible. I mean, that's the idea. It's supposed to be, you know... educational and explaining and all that kind of stuff, that talking to the people and not to the hardcore Drupal programmers necessarily. And so it's really important.
Here's the rule I use. If you document it once, you can point people to the page and you don't have to explain it 500 times.
Exactly. Right. That's true.
That's why I started.
That's true. Well, thanks, Stephen.
Not a problem.
And, we'll catch you later.
Have fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.